त्रयोदशः वर्गः एषः। प्रार्थनया सह आरम्भं कुर्मः। योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचाम् मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तम प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि। पूर्वावलोकनम्। सो नाउ लेट अस रिव्यू द प्रीवियस क्लास। सो वी हैव कमेंस्ड द सेकेंड पादा, द साधना पादा। द साधना पादा बिगिन्स विथ क्रियायोग, द थ्री स्टेप प्रैक्टिस, तपः, स्वाध्यायः, ईश्वर प्रणिधानं। दीस थ्री प्रैक्टिसेस वर प्रेजेंटेड इन द बिगिनिंग एंड the main function or the main role of this kriya yoga is to lead a person to samadhi, samadhi bhavanarthah, how by klesha tanukarana, by weakening the kleshas. And as the term klesha has been mentioned here, so an exposition or a detailed explanation on what klesha is continued. Five kinds of kleshas: avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. All these five are the kleshas, and these kleshas have four states: prasupta, dormant, tanu, weak, vichinna, intercepted, udara, active. So these four states of the kleshas were also presented, and it was also mentioned that there is a fifth state, dagdha bija avastha, a state where the kleshas are taken to a state of burnt seed. A burnt seed will not sprout again. So such a state of klesha also exists, the description of which is found in the Vyasa Bhashya. And after that, each of the kleshas were defined. Avidya, kshetram, special term kshetram was used with reference to avidya. Avidya is the field. Uttaresham kshetram. Avidya is the field in which the later kleshas like asmita, raga, dvesha and abhinivesha sprout. Avidya kshetram uttaresham. And we also saw that avidya is viparyaya, wrong perception. So wherever there is wrong perception, all that is avidya. Anitya, ashuchi, dukkha, anatmasu, nitya, shuchi, sukha, atmakhyatihi, avidya. That was the sutra which described avidya, taking the impermanent to be permanent, anitya, ashuchi, taking the impure, dukkha, considering that which is essentially painful as a source of comfort or happiness, and then anatma, that which is not the real atman, considering that as atman, identifying wrong identification of the self. So all these are the various manifestations of avidya. And then that is avidya. And then asmita, the egoism. And egoism is also wrong identification. And this wrong identification is limited only to the idea of I. The wrong perception of the seer in the scene. Drit darshana shaktyoho ekatmata iva asmita. Drikshakti, the seer, and darshana shakti, that which is seen, when these two are specifically confused, the I, if it is taken to be present in the body, mind, the senses, etc., then that becomes asmita, and then raga, sukhanushayi ragaha. Raga, according to Vyasa Bhashya, it's a very interesting insight. Raga is generally translated as passion, whereas Vyasa presents raga as greed. Happiness or experience of happiness creates a greed for more happiness. Yes, initially experience of happiness creates an impression or samskara of happiness, and that samskara keeps the urge to attain more happiness alive. So that greed, which is caused by the experience of happiness, that is to attain more happiness, that is called as raga. And then dvesha is again an experience of pain, again instigates a negative attitude towards the cause of pain, and that negative attitude, a hatred towards the cause of pain, is described as dvesha. And abhinivesha is clinging to life, and this is swarasavahi, which is flowing, the flow of this particular klesha is swarasa. It is happening naturally on its own strength, which means that even from the previous births, this klesha keeps flowing, swarasavahi, and this is common to all. Vidushaha api, even for a learned scholar, this clinging to life is common. As it is present, the desire for survival, the desire for existence, as it is present in a small mosquito, the same is present in a learned wise person also. Swarasavahi vidushaha api tatha rudhaha or tatha arudhaha abhinivesha. So that is abhinivesha, and there ends the definitions of the kleshas, the five kleshas. Now, the method, so why was this klesha, why was this list of klesha presented? It is to identify them and then to overcome them by Kriya Yoga. How, then again, how these kleshas are to be dealt, because the kleshas are said to have various states, prasupta, tanu, vichinna, udara, etc. So how to tackle them? In the sense that we might feel sometimes that the kleshas do not exist in me, but they may be hiding in any of those states mentioned earlier. So they have to be thoroughly rooted out. So what is the method? What is the mechanism which they are clearly overcome without even a trace of them remaining on the, in the mind? Is it possible? So that is presented in the coming sutras. The next sutra says, Te pratiprasavaheyaha sukshmaha. The sukshma, that is when the kleshas become sukshma, subtle, then they are to be overcome by pratiprasava. I think I have mentioned the term pratiprasava earlier also. Pratiprasava is when the mind merges back into its cause. That is pratiprasava. So the sukshma kleshas are the subtle form when the kleshas are kleshas become very sukshma, very subtle in our mind, or they are so weakened that their existence is very very minimal, their impact or existence is very minimal, then they are to be overcome by pratiprasava. Only when the mind gets dissolved into its cause once for all, once this pratiprasava happens, then a person will attain kaivalya, moksha. So the sukshma kleshas are overcome only when the pratiprasava happens. So that is the general meaning of the sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra also, and then sum up the entire sequence of the idea as to how the kleshas are clearly removed from the mind. So this much of explanation to this sutra. We move to the next sutra, and then we will get a better picture of the sequence. So I am just presenting the meaning of this sutra once again. When the kleshas become sukshma by the practice of Kriya Yoga and other things, the Kriya Yoga, the practice of Kriya Yoga, how does it help? It helps in weakening. That's why it was mentioned earlier also. Klesha Tanukarana. Kriya Yoga does not wipe out entirely the kleshas from the mind. Klesha Tanukarana Matram. Kriya Yoga is capable only to weaken the kleshas. Klesha Tanukarana. So they attain a subtle form. They are weakened. They are not udara. In the sense, they are not that belligerent or very, very active. By Kriya Yoga, they become weak. But their total removal can happen only when the mind gets dissolved into its cause. So how is the mind made to dissolve into its cause? That is by paravairagyam, the highest vairagyam. That will make the sukshma kleshas also inactive, ineffective, and then that will lead to pratiprasava. And the next sutra also presents the another step in overcoming the kleshas. Now, the next sutra says, Dhyana Heyaha Tadvrittayaha. This is Tadvrittayaha, Klesha Vrittayaha, Dhyana Heyaha. The sthula kleshas are to be overcome by Dhyana. The commentators say that when by the practice of Kriya Yoga, the kleshas are weakened. They are only weakened. They have not become non-existent. So, but still those kleshas, weakened kleshas, also throw up thoughts and suffering and other things. So, how to overcome the vrittis or the impact of the kleshas which are weakened but still active? They are to be overcome by dhyana. Dhyana heyaha. Dhyana here refers to the meditating upon the nature of the Atman, the pure nature of the Atman. So, by this dhyana, these kleshas, these weakened kleshas are to be overcome. Dhyana heyaha. These two sutras, when we summarize these two sutras, according to various commentators, even Vyasa has actually reversed the order of these two sutras. The sequence is given below here, which sums up the meaning that is presented in the 10th and 11th sutra also, and it is presented with a beautiful example. So what happens is, kleshanam yogena nivrittihi, I have summed it up here, how yoga helps in overcoming the kleshas. So what happens is that by the practice of Kriya Yoga, the kleshas, the udara kleshas, they become weakened, and so what happens is the sthula or the Kriya Yoga helps in transforming the kleshas, the very active kleshas, or weakening the very active kleshas. But still, they still are active, in the sense that even though in a weakened state, they throw up causes of suffering. So that is the role of Kriya Yoga. When the kleshas are extremely active, their extreme intense activity is reduced by Kriya Yoga. That is the first step. And then, now they are in a weakened state, but still they are called as sthulas. They still throw up thoughts. So how to overcome them? By prasankhyanam. Prasankhyanam and dhyanam are one and the same. By purusha dhyanam, by focusing on the nature of the self, by the upadesha of the guru, or by the study of various shastras, the true nature of the self is understood. A focus is attained on the Purusha. So then what happens is, these sthulas, they become sukshma, they attain the bija avastha, they attain the state of bija, they attain the seed state. Even though they attain a seed state, a seed is always capable of sprouting back again into life. So that seed state is reached through dhyana, and then by paravairagya these seeds are burnt. Dagdha bija avastha, these seeds are burnt, they attain the state of a burnt seed. Highest paravairagya refers to the highest vairagya, the greatest intensity of vairagya from all that is matter and focusing upon the spirit. So that by paravairagya these seeds are transformed into the dagdha bija avastha, a burnt seed state. And once when this burnt seed state of the kleshas are achieved, then pratiprasava happens. Pratiprasava, as I mentioned earlier, is the mind rolling back or merging back or dissolving back into its cause. So in these, by these three steps, the kleshas are overcome. So that is the mechanism that is provided in the Yoga Sutras. So the 10th and 11th sutras along with the first sutra, these present the mechanism to overcome the klesha. For sake of clarity, I would like to repeat it again. So we know what the five kleshas are, and the first approach, the Kriya Yoga is like the infantry in an army. So it goes first and then it weakens the very active kleshas. The tapas, swadhyaya and Ishvara pranidhana, these three weaken the very active kleshas by Kriya Yoga. And then along with Kriya Yoga, one should meditate upon the Purusha also. There is a technical term, prasankhyanam, used in the commentary to indicate Purusha Dhyanam. So these kleshas which are weakened by Kriya Yoga are made sukshmas. They attain the bijavastha, they attain the state of the seed here by prasankhyanam, and then these seeds of kleshas are further, but their potency is destroyed, the potential in them to cause further sufferings is destroyed by paravairagyam, the highest form of vairagyam. And that paravairagyam is present in the mind, then these become burnt seeds, these kleshas become burnt seeds. And when this state is achieved, pratiprasava happens. Pratiprasava is the rolling back of the mind into its cause, and that leads to kaivalyam. When the mind becomes non-existent by pratiprasava, the purusha is isolated, the purusha remains alone, and that is kaivalyam. So there is a three-pronged approach, Kriya Yoga, prasankhyanam or purusha dhyanam, and paravairagyam. So these three steps systematically, they help in managing our kleshas. So again, another important aspect here is the difference here is that Kriya Yoga is the tuning of the mind, the tuning of the speech, the tuning of the actions, as we saw earlier. So when these three are attuned, naturally the kleshas become weakened. And the second aspect here is prasankhyanam. So mere practice or mere disciplining the senses would not do. Knowledge should also be right knowledge, samyak jnanam. That is also necessary. So mere practice of yoga will not be sufficient to reach the goal. Practice of yoga will help. Practice of Kriya Yoga or disciplining of the senses will help to weaken the kleshas alone. But what actually impacts the kleshas is the knowledge of Purusha. See, Kriya Yoga gives a kind of symptomatic relief. If we just speak in terms of therapy, Kriya Yoga gives only a symptomatic relief, but the root cause to an extent is tackled only by Dhyanam, Purusha Dhyanam. Purusha Dhyanam also includes Purusha Jnanam, knowledge of Purusha. See, unless we have the clear knowledge of who the Purusha is, it is not possible to meditate upon the Purusha. And hence, Purusha Dhyanam also includes Purusha Jnanam. So, how do we get this Purusha Jnanam? As I mentioned earlier, Purusha Jnanam is attained through the Shastras, the scriptures, and also the direct guidance of a guru or a teacher. So, practice weakens the kleshas, and it is the knowledge that really shrinks the kleshas. It makes it sukshma. The kleshas really, shrinking of the klesha happens only when there is true knowledge. It is in this state that the Yoga Sutras present a new idea. And mere knowledge is also not sufficient. See, that's why here we saw there is another verse in Vyasa Bhashyam. It says, Swadhyayat yogamasita yogat swadhyaya mamanet. Yoga is needed, but yoga should also combine swadhyaya, the effort to attain true knowledge by the study a reflection upon the scriptures. So, the practice along with Swadhyaya, only that will take us closer to the goal. And it does not end there. Practice and knowledge, the combined effect of this is essentially to intensify our Vairagya. So, this is a new or unique insight that we get, a practical insight for the sadhakas. So yoga in the beginning and at a later stage, yoga along with knowledge. See, directly one cannot plunge into the knowledge of yoga, and that knowledge will also not make sense without practice of yoga. And hence yoga begins with practice of Kriya Yoga, and then when that matures, when that yoga matures, what comes along with that is knowledge, and when that knowledge is turned into dhyana, is so clear that one does not have any doubt about the Purusha. Actually, when does meditation happen? When we do not have any doubt about the Dhyeya Vastu, when the object of meditation is very clear, very crystal clear, only then dhyana happens. So initially practice, and then practice with knowledge, and that knowledge, when it transforms into meditation, is also not the final step. And that dhyanam, purusha dhyanam, should lead us or should help us in intensify the vairagyam. Vairagyam, detachment. And it is only this detachment which is the instrument that delivers us from the worldly bondage. So that is the idea which is presented in this Yoga Sutra. Yoga Sutra's approach towards overcoming the kleshas here is presented in this manner. And a beautiful example is given by Vyasa in his commentary to explain this. And a very practical and an example which is known to everyone. Vastra mala shuddhihi. There is some dirt on a cloth. So how do we overcome that, or how do we remove the dirt? Actually, it depends upon the nature of the dirt on the cloth. So there may be three steps. The first step is vatahatihi. If the dirt is simply some kind of a dust which has settled on the cloth, by just shaking the cloth in the wind, by violently shaking the cloth in the wind, the dust will fly away. Vatahatihi. So the sthulas, the sthula kleshas, are the gross manifestations of the kleshas, is like removing the uppermost dust which is settled down on the cloth by violently or shaking the cloth in the wind. So some amount of dust or dirt will be removed from the cloth from that. The second state is, but dirt or dirt will still remain, some amount of dirt will still remain in that. So how to overcome that? Pashana khanda gharshanam. So probably in the previous times they didn't have the brush and other things. So taking any hard thing like a stone and then rubbing it on the cloth. So some hard thing, and which is when it is rubbed on the cloth by adding water and other things. So that to an extent removes the dirt. By washing it and by rubbing a hard thing like a stone on it, still more stubborn dirt is removed from the cloth. And even more dirt, if it may exist, they will exist, they will persist. Some dirt like that are there, which will not go away by these two steps. Then ksharadi sanyogaha. Adding some salt and other chemicals, they will also remove the very, very stubborn dirt from the cloth. So these are the three stages through which the various levels of dirt in the cloth is removed. Similarly, as these three stages are there in removing dirt from the cloth, similarly these three stages, Kriya Yoga, which can be compared to shaking the cloth in the wind, and Prasankhyanam or Purusha Dhyanam can be equated to rubbing the rubbing stone or some hard surface on the cloth to remove more stubborn dirt. And then Paravairagyam is adding kshara, salt and other such chemicals which react, which go deeper into the cloth, and then they root out the dirt. So in these this is the mechanism that we find presented in the Yoga Sutras and the commentaries to root out these kleshas. Now, this is the first unit of the second pada. So, the first unit of the second pada covers the practice of Kriya Yoga, and it presents a complete picture on overcoming the kleshas. Now we move on to the second unit of the sadhana pada. Here, this second unit is focused on karmashaya and vipaka. Now, in the first unit, we saw that a great amount of effort was noticed on dealing with the ways and means to overcome the kleshas. So, why so much effort to overcome the kleshas? Let them be, let the kleshas be in the mind. What of it? What will happen? So, that point is presented. What if the kleshas are fully active in the mind? So, what is the consequence of not taking care of the kleshas, not putting any effort in overcoming the kleshas? That is presented in the second unit. Kleshas, if they are not attended to, they will follow their own course. They will lead to the accumulation of the karmashaya, and then they will lead to the formation of karmashaya, and then they will lead to vipaka. Now, what is karmashaya? Karmashaya is ashaya, always means storage or accumulation. For example, we have the usage jalashaya, ashaya, which means a reservoir of water. Jalashaya is a reservoir of water, where water is stored. Similarly, karmashaya is accumulation or storage of karma. What is karma? Karma here refers to punya and papa. The meritorious effects and also the sinful effects of the karma, the actions, here is referred as the karma here. So, we do actions, we do kriyas, and what comes out of the kriya either is punya or papa. It is this punya or papa which is denoted by the term karma in this karmashaya, in this compound word karmashaya. And then these punyas and papas, they keep getting stored in the mind, and that becomes karmashaya. So, accumulation of punya papa samskaras. So, that is karmashaya. And let them accumulate. What will happen by the increase in the storage of punya and papa? They will naturally lead us to vipaka. Vipaka is the fruition of the karmashaya. So, when we do a punya or papa karma, when we do an action, they may either go to the punya account or they may go to the papa account. They are stored. And then they will not simply remain stored, and they will manifest their manifestation. They will lead to karma phala. They will naturally turn into again they are also kind of seeds which sprout in the form of next janma, in which we experience the vipaka. Vipaka simply means the fruition of the karmashaya. So punya will give pleasurable experience and papa will lead to suffering. So that is explained by the term vipaka. So if we do not take care of the kleshas through kriya yoga and the other steps that are detailed, what will happen is the kleshas will lead to karmashaya, and then that karmashaya will lead to vipaka, which means that the chain of life or the samsara, the repeated cycle of birth and death will continue until and unless we look into the root cause of the birth and death, that is the kleshas. So that is impressed or that is stressed in this second unit of the second pada. So the 12th sutra says, drishta adrishta janma vedaniyaha klesha moolaha karmashayaha. Klesha moolaha karmashayaha drishta adrishta janma vedaniyaha. So klesha moolaha, klesha is the moola, or the kleshas are the moola. Kleshas are the root cause. Those kleshas which were detailed or enumerated in the previous sections are the moola, are the root cause, and what emerges from this root is the karmashaya. And what is this karmashaya and how is this karmashaya has been explained. How is this karmashaya experienced? Drishta adrishta janma vedaniyaha. This karmashaya, we live out this karmashaya or we experience vedanam. Vedanam is experiencing or realizing these karmashayas are actualized. This karmashaya in the form of punya and papa is actualized in the life, in this life, drishta janma, in this birth itself or in the future lives. So kleshas are the root causes which lead to karmashaya, the accumulation of punya and papa, and that punya or papa are experienced or actualized, or the fruition of those punya and papa happen either in this birth or in the next birth, drishta janma or adrishta janma. It is true that when the kleshas are very intense, the karmas or the actions which are done under the impact of the extreme kleshas, they are experienced in this birth itself. Atyutkataihi punya papaihi ihaiva phalamashnute. That is a reference that we get in the texts, which is extreme punya or extreme papa attain fruition in this birth itself. So the two standard examples that are discussed in the Yoga Sutra is that of Nandishwara and Nahusha. Nandishwara or Nandikeshwara is a boy. Out of his extreme devotion to Lord Shiva, he was a boy, human boy. Out of his extreme devotion to the Lord Shiva, he gets transformed into a god. So his extreme devotion, a karma, leads to the fruition of it in the very birth itself. In the very birth of a manushya, a human boy, because of his highest devotion to Shiva, he gets transformed into a deva or a devagana. He becomes an attendant of Shiva. He enters the the pantheon of gods. So that is the example given to the Atyutkata Punya. Extreme good leads to its fruition in this birth itself. And the negative example, Atyutkata Papa, extreme sin, or a very heinous or very serious crime or very serious wrongdoing, that will the impact of it can also be experienced in this birth. Again, the example is Nahusha. Nahusha, by his previous Janma, Nahusha was a king in his previous birth. Out of his Punya Karma, in the current birth, he had attained the Indra Padavi. He became Indra. And the story goes that he was carried in a palanquin by the seven sages. And then of those seven sages, Agastya was shorter. And hence, the palanquin was tilted in one direction. Nahusha, who felt a sense of discomfort, he kicked with his feet Agastya. So what happens is, that is an extreme grave sin of insulting the Saptarishis, one among the Saptarishis, that is Agastya. And then he immediately, by this wrongdoing, he is cursed by Agastya to become a serpent, Ajagara, a python. So, though he was experiencing the Punya Phala by his heinous action of insulting one among the Saptarishis, he gets immediately transformed into a serpent. So, from a Deva Janma, he gets transformed into a Pashu Janma, the life of an animal. So, that's why Kleshas, they, if they are allowed to get magnified, if they are allowed to operate with the full blow, what happens is, they give their impact can be felt very much in this life also, and it also leads to future lives, future Janmas. So, the chain of life is kept active only by this Klesha. So, Klesha is the supply chain or the source by which the cycle of birth and death is kept active. So, if one hits at these kleshas, then it is possible to overcome this cycle of birth and death. So, that is the idea which is presented in this sutra. Klesha moolaha karmashayaha drishta drishta janma vedaniyaha. And there is one more idea also here, which says that even when the karmashayas are stored, a lot of punya papa from many previous births, we have accumulated lot of punyas and papas, and even though they exist, they will not attain fruition, they will not fructify unless there is kleshas. See, they are, the karmashayas are like the various electrical appliances, like the bulb, the TV, the computer, and various other things. And the kleshas are like the current, the electricity. So, it is the kleshas that power the karmashayas into the fructification in the form of experience in this birth and also the next birth. So, if the power supply, that is the kleshas, are cut off, then the fructification of the karmashayas into vipaka will not happen. So, that is an important insight that we get from this point. So when the root, the klesha mula is cut, then if the root, if the tree is cut at its root, then it does not grow again. So similarly, if the kleshas are hit, then there is no need to worry about the impact of the past karmas. So that is one important idea that we get here. And hence, it is not that every karma has to be lived out. Every punya papa that we have done earlier cannot be exhausted by experiencing, because it is such a vast storage. So the easy way is to focus on the kleshas. The easy way is to understand the kleshas and then practice kriya yoga, prasankhyana and paravairagya to root out the kleshas. When once the kleshas are taken care of, the karmashaya and other things are automatically, they are terminated. So one is easily, or in a way, the approach is this, that one should focus on the kleshas and the karmashayas are taken care of automatically by that. So that is the point here. Klesha moolaha karmashayaha drishta adrishta janma vedaniyaha. And the next sutra actually explicitly mentions this point, sati mule tadvipakaha. So only when the mula, that is the root, the kleshas, only when they exist, vipaka happens. So vipaka or the fructification of the punya and the papa into our day-to-day experiences, that happens only when the kleshas exist. Sati mule, mule sati, karane sati. So only when the karana, that is the kleshas which exist, only when they exist, the fructification of the karma happens. And the term vipaka is explained in this sutra. So what are all the kinds of experiences that are generated by our past karmas? So what exactly is vipaka? How do we understand vipaka? Vipaka leads to jati, vipaka leads to ayuhu, and vipaka is leads to bhoga. In the sense that vipaka is nothing but the sum total of jati, ayuhu and bhogaha. That is, these three in short is called as vipaka. So how does the actions fructify? The actions or the punya papa, the meritorious and the sinful actions, they fructify as the nature of the birth that we attain. Jati here does not refer to caste. Jati here refers to janma. What kind of a species a person is born? Manushya jati, prani jati, deva jati, asura jati. These are the jatis which are to be understood by the term jati here, going by the commentators. So jati is determined by karmashaya. So karmashaya fructifies in the form of birth. What kind of birth? An animal or a human or a god? So what kind of birth one attains, that is determined by the karmashaya. And ayuhu, as you might know, is nothing but the lifespan, that is ayuhu, how long a person lives in that particular janma, that is ayuhu. And bhoga, bhoga is important life experiences. the fortunes and the misfortunes are that which we call as adrishta. So that is bhoga, the various experiences in the life, sufferings and happiness. Not all sufferings and happiness, the very important sufferings and happiness in the life is called as bhoga, which also comes from the previous birth. So jati, ayu and bhogaha. If we say that and all the sufferings of this birth or all the sufferings or happiness of this birth comes from the previous birth, then what happens is there is no point in our ability to control the situation, and hence it would be better to understand the term bhoga as the major happiness and the major sufferings of the life. That can be termed as bhoga. And or else what happens is there is a despair. If everything comes from the past, then any amount of Purusha Prayatna will not be of any help. And hence the entire Yoga Shastra question, the existence of entire Yoga Shastra comes under question. And hence the major experiences of pleasure and pain, that is termed as bhoga, and that comes from the previous birth. And so these are the three factors, jati, ayu and bhoga, which put together is called as vipaka, and these result from the karmashaya. Karmashaya, again the punya and the papa, and karmashaya can transform into vipaka only in the presence of klesha. That is the point here. These two points, we might be aware of it because all most that is Vedanta, this is common to the Vedantic idea also, that karmashaya leads to vipaka. But the more important point here is that the kleshas are the ones which power the karmashayas into vipaka. It is the existence of this kleshas which act as a catalyst for karmashayas to attain the form of vipaka, to give birth, which leads to various kind of birth, the life and also the experiences in the life. So, if not taken care of, they lead to these experiences. And I end with the third sutra here, vipaka. The next sutra is this vipaka in the form of jati, ayu and bhoga. So what is the nature of this vipaka? Te hlada paritapa phalaha punya punya hetutvat. This vipaka, or the fructification of the past punya and papa, it leads both to hlada and paritapa. Khalada is pleasurable experience and paritapa is total suffering. Paritapa, total suffering. So vipaka is not always pleasurable and vipaka is not always painful. So it is a mix of happiness and suffering, because punya apunya hetutvat. Happy experiences, we have happy vipaka because of the punya karmas. We have vipaka that give us suffering because of the papa karmas, and hence it is a mixed bag. So all the experiences, the happy and the suffering experiences that we gain out of the vipaka is because of the punya and papa karmas. and the punya and the papa karmas turn into vipaka because of the existence of kleshas. So vipaka is not unalloyed suffering, or vipaka is also not unalloyed happiness. So it is a kind of mixture of both happiness and suffering. The point here is that we always desire happiness, but whereas out of vipaka what we get, of course we get happiness out of our vipaka because of punya, but suffering is the other side of the coin of vipaka. And hence if we simply allow the flow of kleshas, what we will get is a roller coaster, in the sense happiness and suffering. So it is the wavy ride that we will experience. So it will be full of ups and downs, but a person who desires a steady state of happiness, a constant state of eternal peace and bliss, this is not the path for him. So that is the idea with which this statement in the sutra appears. So when if a person allows the kleshas to be active, it leads to karmashaya, and in the presence of kleshas, the karmashaya leads to vipaka, which is full of ups and downs, happiness and sufferings, which is not the path for a yogi. A yogi desires an eternal state of happiness, which is possible, which is not a utopian idea. So all these are logical presentation which convinces the mind that if we simply go along the movement of the kleshas, all that we will end up is a life full of ups and downs. But if we want to take control of the life, this is not the path that we need to take, full of lada, an up, and paritapa, a down. So this cycle will keep repeating. So to overcome this cycle, what we need to do is to understand and take control over the kleshas. So it is with this idea that the idea, the concept of the operation of kleshas in relation to karmashaya and vipaka has been presented in this second unit. So we already crossed the time, so I end it here. Are there any questions? So we come to the end of the second unit of the second pada. So it seems that there are no questions. So we end the session. Of course, you can send your queries through email also, because these are the concepts which we need to reflect upon. And so whenever you get a question, kindly send it across through an email. I'll be happy to go into the texts and then come out with the answers from the texts. So we close the session here. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. I see a hand up, Mr. Paul. I'm just unmuting you. Kindly, yeah, address your question.
Hello? I'm getting echo from this one.
Hello?
Maybe unmute my other section. That'll be better. I'll shut this one down.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Ah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so I wrote a question.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it didn't come through. I said it's not clear because the karmashaya is storing the karma.
Okay.
From perhaps long ago.
Uh-huh.
Even in a previous life.
Uh-huh.
Now they are going to come into Pala.
Okay.
Because they have to come into, they have to have fruit.
Mm.
So how does today's klesha have the ability to stop yesterday's klesha, which is bringing about today's karma?
Can you just repeat it once again?
Yeah. Just want to make sure I shut this down. So, okay. So, because I'm still hearing that echo, I didn't get it shut down. So, okay, I shut it down. Okay, so, it wasn't clear about how the, like, if I think I understood what you were saying about the klesha. If you're able to control the klesha, then the karma won't come into fruition. You were saying that. But
then
it got a little bit difficult. It wasn't clear because the karmashaya is storing the karma from long ago, like a previous life or a long time ago. Now, they're going to come into fruition because they must.
Mm.
So how does today's klesha have the ability to stop yesterday's klesha, which is going to bring about today's karma?
Yeah, today's klesha, what do you mean by today's klesha? In the sense that whatever we do, is yoga. Today's yoga can control yesterday's karma. That was what I was trying to explain. See, when we get into yoga, by understanding the kleshas and putting in the right steps like the Kriya Yoga, the Prasankhyana and also the Paravairagya, it has the ability to control today's kleshas as well as the consequences of the yesterday's kleshas which are stored in the form of karmashaya. So that is the beauty here, that if you take care of the kleshas here, then it takes care of both the present and also the past. It is not that the kleshas, the controlling or the if one works to reduce one's klesha, it is not only that the present is impacted favorably, even the past, that is the karmashaya, lose their ability or their potency to fructify into later experiences in the form of jati, ayu and bhoga. This was what I was trying to explain. Is it clear or have I clarified your doubt?
Yeah, I mean it's clear. When you say it like that, and when we started from the beginning with it, it seemed, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then it got a little unclear. Now, it seems like what you're saying then is that because you're not entertaining the klesha, you're not allowing it to come out, then the karma also doesn't have a chance to come out.
True. That's why the example of the electricity and the appliances, that example I tried to present.
Right.
So the appliances will not work until there is power supply, and we are, by the practice of yoga, we are cutting out that power supply. So it doesn't mean that even if the electrical appliances are there, they will be of no use until there is the power. And hence, until there is the klesha, until the if we are successful in cutting out that kleshas, then all other distractions or all other impact of the kleshas, the past and the present, all are taken care of. That is the idea which is presented in Sutra 13. Sati mule tadvipakaha. Only when the mula or the root, that is the kleshas, till they are active, all the sufferings and difficulties exist. And if we take care of kleshas, all of them are taken care of.
Okay, well, it seems totally plausible in the sense of, well, the karmas are still there, but they're not coming out. But it seems like you're also saying that you're getting dagda, you're getting the burning of that, so that the karmas would actually no longer be there, like in the sense of what we would say in the sense of jnanam.
The point here is the term dagda appears in the Bhagavad Gita also, and the dagda appears in the Yoga Sutra also. There is a subtle difference between the appearance there and here. Whereas in Bhagavad Gita, Jnanagni Dagdha Karmanam Tamahu Panditam Budhaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that by the fire of knowledge, all the previous karmas are burnt. So that is the idea of burning the karmas. All the previous karmas are burnt by the fire of knowledge there. Whereas, the Yoga Sutras and the commentaries of Yoga Sutra does not speak of burning of the karmas. It is the kleshas which attain the state of dagdha bija avastha, and it is not the karmas which are burnt. And it doesn't the Yoga Sutras are not concerned with the burning of the punya papa karmashayas. They are more concerned with tackling the kleshas which are the root cause. So it is the kleshas that which are burnt, or it is the kleshas which are made or which are taken to the state of a burnt seed. So if that is taken, they are consistently focusing only on the kleshas and not on the karmashaya which comes out of the kleshas. So they are focused entirely, and the focus of Yoga Sutra is much better here, I feel, and more practical, that we focus on kleshas and we tackle the kleshas, and the karmashaya is automatically taken care of. So that is the slight difference. The Bhagavad Gita speaks of burning the karmas through jnana, whereas the Yoga Sutra speaks of taking the kleshas to the state of a burnt seed through Kriya Yoga, Prasankhyana and Paravairagya. So that is the difference.
Then the kleshas are, the karma, the karmashaya is supposed to still actually be there, or then the karmashaya has been reduced and annihilated?
In the sense that their existence does not matter, because the kleshas, when they are taken to even if the karmashaya exists, they are not going to lead to any experience either in this birth or in the next birth. And then what happens to those karmashaya? As we saw, the pratiprasava, when the kleshas are taken to a state of burnt seed, then naturally what happens is the mind gets dissolved into its cause, and when the mind goes, all these karmashayas are there only in the mind, and everything gets dissolved and merged into the prakriti, and the purusha is isolated and he is free. That is kaivalya.
Therefore, the karmas are no longer there.
Not at all. Yes. That is when it reaches that final state of dagdha bija state. So not until then.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, fine. So, thank you. And actually, there are many questions. I didn't see this window which has the questions. I'm extremely sorry. I didn't see it earlier because I was engrossed in explaining the concepts. So, I didn't see here. I didn't see the questions which were typed out. I apologize for that. Yes. So, yes. Ajit Shastriji, what give example of Vyasa. I think this is relevant for the question. I shall unmute you. Can you explain that point?
Hello? Yeah.
Namaste.
What I meant here was, see, Vyasa in earlier this one, I mean, we had Angulimal. Okay. So, Angulimal, what was he doing? He was killing people, cutting their fingers and all. Right. Then after that, he left it. So, all his previous karmas, everything, they went off. So, I thought that was a relevant example.
Angulimala, does it appear in Vyasa's life or Shankara?
No, no. Sorry, not Vyasa's life. Angulimal, sorry, that's a different, correct. But Angulimal is the right example. Sorry.
Okay, sir. Fine. Right, sir. Thank you. There is another question. We will end it with that. Purvakrita karmavashat adya kleshaha kidrishaha ityeva prashnaha. See, klesha, the question here is based upon the common usage of the term klesha. Klesha, normally when we say suffering, the normal translation of the word klesha will be suffering. Kleshaha asti mama, all those things we use in normal classical usage, normal Sanskrit usage. But whereas kleshas are not, adya kleshaha kidrishaha does not mean that today by previous there is a confusion between the cause and effect. Klesha is not the effect, rather kleshas are the causes of karmashaya. So by previous karma, kleshas are not caused. So it is by the constant existence of the kleshas that the karmashayas fructify, and hence the question needs to be revised. So kleshas are pre-existent, and it is their existence which leads to the fructification of karmashaya, and hence the focus in the Yoga Sutra is to overcome these kleshas. If we focus on the kleshas, the karmashaya is taken care of on its own. So I hope I have answered the question. So thank you. So we end the today's class here. Thank you. Namaste.